many of you, or as you already know, the way I've been putting this on blast on my podcasts and on my blog, I now have a Wii, and I've already completed The Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess. So I figured, why not hop on the mic? Micro fizzle. That was a kind of an in-joke, but yeah, so I thought, why not do a review? Now, oh God, where do I start? I'm going to try and keep this short and sweet, because one of my whole podcasts was an actual review, so I'll try and keep this short as possible. Right, now first off, I'll start by saying Twilight Princess is a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant game. And if you haven't played a Zelda game before, then you will love this game. If you have played a Zelda game before, you will love it. But the one thing that you will find is that it plays extremely similar to Ocarina of Time. Now, this isn't a bad thing. And given how people slated The Wind Waker and said, we want a game that plays like Ocarina of Time, you can't really blame Nintendo too much. Blame the people that hated The Wind Waker and wanted a game exactly like Ocarina of Time. Because that's what you've kind of got with Twilight Princess. It plays very, very much like Ocarina of Time. And it's also set in the same world. So you've got... I won't spoil it by naming the characters and locations that do crop up in this game. But you will see some familiar faces, some familiar locations, and some familiar areas. Along with some new ones. But it really is just pretty much Ocarina of Time, but a little bigger, much nicer looking, and with a much darker tone. And this was one of the problems for me with this game, was that I kind of, despite the Wind Waker shortcomings, I loved how fresh the game felt, because you had brand new locations, brand new characters, and a world that was kind of modelled and expressed in a way you've never seen in a Zelda game or a game before. There was this freshness and this newness about the Wind Waker that I really liked. And I find with Twilight Princess, that sense of newness is somewhat missing and lacking. Because I think all Nintendo have done is really taken the Ocarina of Time and kind of built on it a little. And it's a real shame, because it's a brilliant looking game with a nice story and some nice setups. But I kind of feel that Nintendo played it safe, when what they really should have done was, fair enough, base it on Ocarina, but also inject the game with some new aspects. And actually, I take that back. Twilight Princess does have some new gameplay elements and some new set pieces that are brilliant and they're really fun, but there aren't enough of them, or they don't last long enough. Like, one example is the fighting on horseback. This wasn't something you could do in Ocarina of Time. It wasn't something you could do in The Wind Waker, because you didn't have a horse. But it's something that you can do in Twilight Princess, and it's brilliant. It kind of feels like Lord of the Rings, because you get enemies galloping beside you on these wild boars, and you can slash with the Wiimote and knock them off the horse. Now, horse back fighting is so much fun, but you only do it 3 times in the game in total, and that's it. And even when you're just galloping around from village to village, you don't tend to get a lot of enemies that come up on you on horses or wild boars. And it's a shame, because it's a really fun aspect of the game, but you don't get to do it enough. And there are some other cases where you do cool little set pieces, but you do them once and won't do them again. I won't spoil them for you, but there are a lot of moments in the game where you find yourself, there are a lot of moments in the game where Nintendo throw new gameplay aspects at you, and you find them so fun, and you kind of want more of that, but there isn't enough of it. Now, the graphics in this game are brilliant. Every time I read a review on Twilight Princess, it's like people are so skeptical about the graphics and they keep dogging the graphics. I'm here to say that Twilight Princess is a beautiful looking game. It's a brilliant looking game. I'm not going to compare it to an Xbox 360 or PS3 title, because it's stupid. As a lot of you know, the Wii isn't as powerful as Xbox 360. So if you were expecting a game which has the graphical excellence of something like Gears of War, then you're going to be disappointed. But as a GameCube title, I think it looks fantastic. It's one of the better looking GameCube titles. There are certain effects that Nintendo pull out of the bag that I never knew GameCube was capable of. The water effects look brilliant. The fire effects look brilliant. The frame rate is constant throughout. The draw distance is amazing. You can see villages way in the distance. And it's brilliant, because the thing with Zelda, anything you see in the distance, you can get to it. as long as you can find the means. And the areas are just vast and expansive with minimal loading times. And the thing that makes Twilight Princess stand out graphically is not so much the graphics themselves, but the style and the architectural style. Like, every village you go to just looks brilliant, and every single dungeon is so unique, and the architecture is amazing. That the final dungeon in the game just looks brilliant. I won't give it away, but the last dungeon looks awesome. Really does, really epic looking. And also the Twilight Realm, which is kind of a murky shade of yellows, blacks and browns, and you've got these little square particles that float everywhere, and everything looks really hazy. And it's one of those things where shots don't do it justice. You really have to see the game running. There are some moments in the game where the graphics will astound you. I know they astounded me. So the graphics in the game are brilliant. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. It's a beautiful looking game. And if, like me, I mean, I haven't played Xbox 360 too extensively, so it's not like I can put it side by side to it. The music in the game and the sound is brilliant, but the music isn't orchestrated, and I think this is something that does annoy me a little. When I first read reviews of Zelda before I got the game, everyone was saying, the music's MIDI, they should have orchestrated it. And I was like, oh, shut up. The amount of soundtracks out there that are MIDI, look at Kingdom Hearts 2, MIDI. And didn't no one hate on that, but they're hating on Zelda. Now, I have to say, upon playing the game and hearing some of the music, it really should have been orchestrated. Not because the MIDI sounds bad, but because the arrangements of the music are so grand and epic and sweeping, and the soundtrack has this kind of feel and sound about it that really would have come off so brilliantly had it been orchestrated. Especially the boss battle themes. The boss battle themes are so grand and epic and quick, and it really would have benefited from being orchestrated. So the music in the game is brilliant. Twilight Princess is probably one of my favourite Zelda soundtracks alongside The Wind Waker, but I feel it really should have been orchestrated. And I hope that with the next Zelda game that Nintendo definitely opt for an orchestrated soundtrack, because it would just make the game sound so much better. Zelda doesn't have any speech at all. Characters make noises like, hey, oi, Link. Well, they don't shout Link, but like, oi, hey, you know, the characters make little noises and gestures like that, but they don't ever speak. You've got Midna. I'll talk about Midna in a bit, but Midna does talk, but kind of like, anyone who's played Starwing or Lilac Wars will know the language Lilac, where it's like, bleep, 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 bleep. It was pretty much speech that's been reversed or chopped. They do it a lot in Star Wars, where they might have a language and then play it in reverse to form this new language. Midna talks like that, and it does sound really cool, I have to say. But none of the other characters talk. And it's not an issue, and it's not something that I would knock the game for. But I think with this particular Zelda game, the characters make so many gestures that at times you think to yourself, they may as well talk. Like, there's a postman in the game who delivers you letters every so often, and he'll come up to you like, hey! Ah! Da-da-da-da-da! The whole time that you're reading the text on the screen, this guy's making some noise, and it's like, he's making so many gestures, you may as well have made him talk. But the one thing I will say, because of the lack of speech, it means Nintendo really had to go all out with the facial expressions, and the facial expressions and animations are second to none. They look brilliant. Like, Link doesn't say a word. I don't ever want Link to talk. I'm cool with the silent hero, but Link is extremely expressive. Probably more expressive than he is in The Wind Waker, and that's saying something, because The Wind Waker Link was immensely expressive, and Twilight Princess Link, he pulls expressions and it's all in his eyes. And in every cutscene, you look at Link's face and you can just tell, you just know what he's thinking or what's going through his mind, and that's really cool. And I don't think there's ever been a game that I've played where the hero's face says so much, and it's really cool. So even though there is a lack of speech, it means that Nintendo's had to excel in facial expressions and animations, and they succeed. But I think that the next Zelda game, or perhaps the one after, I think Nintendo should definitely look at having voice acting for the non-playable characters, because it would add so much to the world. And it's a shame because you come across some really cool characters. Every single character you come across has such a cool design and is so unique. And having them talk and have a voice actor would definitely have brought the uniqueness to her. It really would have impacted greatly. So it's a shame. One problem I have with Twilight Princess is the pacing. The game is easy. Very, very easy. If you've played a Zelda game before, you will fly straight through it. I mean, I completed the game in about 35 hours, which is pretty quick. There is a couple of things I missed. Like, there's another shield that I missed and another suit that you can get that I've missed. Weapon upgrades that I've missed. But still, you can fly through the game very, very quickly. You could probably do it in less than 30. No, actually, I don't think you could. Probably 30. I did it in 35. You probably could do it quicker because there were a lot of moments where I was just meandering around lost. But it is a very short game. And I think, is it shorter than Ocarina of Time? I'm not too sure. But the one thing about this game is that you kind of find that after the first three dungeons, the game has a nice pace and it's quite long. And you think, wow, this game is going to last me ages. Because, I mean, it's like you go through the game for 5 to 6 hours and you're not even anywhere near the third temple. But then once you do the third temple, the fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth temple, the future six temples, they come at you thick and fast. It's like you literally go from one temple to the next with nothing in between to break up the action. And this is what causes the game to end so quickly. Because you're just going from dungeon to dungeon to dungeon to dungeon to dungeon. And before you know it, you're at the end of the game. And this is what really bothered me about the game, is the pacing was off. It starts off at a nice pace and then it just turns brisk. And those of you who have played Zelda games before will definitely realise that. Usually you do a dungeon, then there's some little story thing you have to go along with. Then you access the next dungeon. Or usually there's some mad mission you've got to go on just to get inside the dungeon. With Link to the Past, it was like that. With Ocarina of Time, it was like that. Shoot, even with the Wind Waker, there was huge breaks between each dungeon. But in this game, they just throw them at you so thick and so fast. And it's a shame, because it means that you've got a brilliant game which is over way sooner than it should be. And it kind of means that the dungeons kind of just... It's a shame because the dungeons are brilliantly designed and they're extremely unique. I think Twilight Princess has probably got some of the best dungeons in a Zelda game to date. They're memorable and they're unique and they're big. But you do get a couple at the end of the game that are so short, you wonder why they've bothered putting them in the game. And like I said, you kind of go from dungeon to dungeon with nothing in between. So you really do fly through the game. I thought it was just me being excessive with my game playing, but having gone in a couple of forums and read other reviews, it's definitely not me, it's the game. You will fly through it pretty quickly. And not only that, but the difficulty of the game is very easy. The enemies don't do much damage. There's never a moment where you're swarmed by enemies. So if you're used to being quiet / happy, and you kind of like that / happy feel you get playing Kingdom Hearts 2, then you won't get that with this game. The same goes for the bosses. The bosses look brilliant. Brilliant. The best bosses to hit a Zelda game. Brilliant looking bosses. And the way you've got to defeat these bosses is awesome as well. Really original. Only Nintendo could come up with bosses like these. But the problem, they're not menacing enough. They're nowhere near as menacing as they look. Even though it annoys me sometimes, I like a boss battle where you really are just getting your ass kicked and you need to think quick. And with Zelda, the enemies will just kind of wander around, giving you all the time in the world to find their weak spot. They won't hit you. They'll just let you do your thing, and it's a shame. It would have been nice to have had some bosses that fight as menacing as they look. But the one brilliant aspect of the bosses is that the way you have to defeat the bosses is original as it comes. And they do look awesome. The bosses look absolutely brilliant. It's just a shame they weren't more menacing and more challenging. And so I've criticised the game, but I will talk about the one brilliant aspect, and that's the character of Midna. Now, if you've seen any shots of the game or any artwork, she's the little imp-like character that rides on the back of Link as a wolf. That sounds really nasty. But yeah, Midna's definitely the highlight of the game. Brilliant character. Probably the nearest thing you're going to get to speech is from Midna, because she does talk in her own odd little language, which sounds really cool. And she's a great character because you never quite know what the deal is with her, and I won't spoil it, but Midna's a brilliant character, and she's probably I think Link is the main character, but I definitely would say Midna is too, because when you play as a wolf, you can't do anything without her. And even when you're walking around as Link, she's constantly popping up and you can talk to her and everything. She's a really cool character. And it's a shame, because of the way that the chronology of the series works, that we may not see Midna again, but it would be cool if they could bring her back somehow. Or, because she's an awesome character. I love Midna. Great, great character. You will fall in love with Midna, trust me. Cool, cool character. One of the best characters to come out of Zelda for a long time. But overall, it's a really good game. But I just feel that the few new aspects that Nintendo do bring to the table, they don't really touch on them or capitalize on them enough. Like the items, you get some really cool items and weapons in the game, but you'll get an item in a dungeon and you will only use it in that dungeon, and that's it. There won't be a use for that item again, and it's a shame. It would have been better if, excuse me, they offered weapons that had use in every dungeon, or there were certain enemies that could only be killed by a particular weapon. But Twilight Princess, it doesn't work like that, and it's a shame, because it means you've got all these items in your inventory that you want to use but you don't really have a use for anymore, and it's a shame. The story to the game is really good too, and that's another thing. Nintendo show that they are more than capable of producing a brilliant cutscene. There are some standout cutscenes in this game. Some of the most emotional, impacted cutscenes I've seen in a Zelda game. Yeah, a lot of the best aspects I've seen in a Zelda game. But the cutscenes, some of the cutscenes in this game are brilliant, but they're far in between. And the problem is kind of, you'll have a cutscene where the narrative moves forward really nicely, you know, and some revelations come to light. Then you've got hours of nothing. Then you'll get a really big cutscene. Then hours of nothing. Then a big cutscene. Then hours of nothing. And I think Nintendo has shown with this game that they can tell a story and tell it well through brilliant cutscenes. But then again, as with most things in this game, they never touch on it enough. There should have been more cutscenes. The narrative should have been pushed forward at a much better pace. And the story should have been tightened up a bit. I won't talk about the story because I don't want to spoil anything, but when you get to the end, you're kind of like, bleh. The story should have been better. I think the storyline to the game, to me, isn't as good as Ocarina of Time, because with Ocarina of Time, there was definitely this sense of epicness, and also this feeling that there were people that you knew and loved in the game that had made sacrifices, and that feeling of sacrifice and epicness just seems to be missing from Twilight Princess, and it's a shame, because if there was any Zelda game that should have been the most epic, it should have been this one. But I find Ocarina of Time slightly more epic. But having said that, Twilight Princess is a brilliant game. If you're buying a Wii or you're planning on getting a Wii, pick this game up. It is brilliant. And oh, the Wii controls, really cool. Aiming with the Wii remote is such a godsend. It's so much easier than using the analog stick, because you can just point it where you want to shoot and aim. And slashing with the sword is brilliant. Now, the way that Link slashes doesn't correspond correctly to the Wii remote. So if you swing it vertically, you won't slash vertically. It's just you shake the Wiimote and he attacks. It is cool, and it does kind of immerse you in the game greatly. It feels great. It would be great to see what Nintendo can do with the Wii remote with their next Zelda game, because obviously Twilight Princess is a GameCube game with a couple of Wii remote tacked on controls. So it'd be great to see what Nintendo can do with the Wii remote and also the game interface, having built a new Zelda game from the ground up with the Wii remote in mind constantly. So overall, Twilight Princess is a brilliant game, but I just wish that I wish that a lot of the new aspects of the game, Nintendo would really run with them. Because there are several moments in the game where you're like, oh, I like that bit. But Nintendo don't touch on it too much. They play it safe with this game. And I would love for them to just take a huge risk and come with something that really sports a lot of what we haven't seen before. If you haven't played Ocarina of Time, then you will absolutely love this game because you'll have nothing to compare it to. But if you did like Ocarina of Time, you'll also like this game because it plays very, very much alike. It's definitely one of the... It is up there as one of the better Zelda titles. It's definitely up there with Link to the Past and Ocarina of Time. Much, much better than Wind Waker. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant game. Buy it, buy it, buy it.